Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I don't know why, but I did entitle this God's Power Company. God's Power Company. And before I go to that, I want to read something that I've read this probably 20 times now, and I think it deserves being read again. Eyebrows were raised when newly elected Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, in his first address from the chair, told the assembled Democratic and Republican members of the House of Representatives that God, the God of the Bible, raised each one of them for a purpose. I want to tell all my colleagues here what I told the Republicans in the room last night. Republicans in that room, I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us, and I believe that God has allowed and ordained each and every one of us to be here at this specific moment. The Louisiana Republican said, "This is my belief. I believe each one of us has a huge responsibility today to use the gifts God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great nation." Can you believe? Goes in the record of Congress. What a blessing that is for us. And many, many, many times I have heard people say, "God's in control. God's in control. God's in control." What do they mean? What do they mean by God's in control? God's word doesn't say much about God being in control. Doesn't say, in fact, the information in my dictionary doesn't even list in the concordance the word control at all. So as I look at the Bible and say, what is this control? Doesn't say much about that. Even the concordance in my Bible doesn't have one word in there in the concordance where the word control is used. Now, Ruth will tell you that the concordance in my Bible is a piece of junk. But it's because it's not as good as hers, and she's right. But there's not the use of that word. So, what does God say? Well, God says, "All things are possible for God." I think that's in Matthew, and then you go over to Luke, and just to make sure that you all understand, and that we who read the Bible understand, that God can do anything He wants to, Luke says it the other way. Nothing is impossible. So all things are possible and nothing is impossible. If anything is possible for God and nothing is impossible, then anything that God wants to do, I think He can do. He would be in control. So when we say that, I think that's probably truthful, even though it doesn't come right out and say that in the Bible. But what does a control mean? Control means, in the dictionary, to exercise authority or influence over. Talks like power. Second, to hold in restraint or check. Three, to verify scientific experiments. Doesn't fit what we're trying to talk about. Verify an account. Number four, it doesn't fit. Authority, requisite to direct or influence Now we're back to power. A restraining act. Power. Power in the dictionary. The ability or capacity to act or perform effectively. Powers, a specific capacity, a facility, or aptitude. Strength or free exerted or capable of being exerted. Might. So, other definitions in the one that's number four in the dictionary, the ability or official capacity to exercise control over others. Number five, a person or nation or political organization. And six, the might of a nation. That's what power means. So, what is God going to do if he is not going to use his power to take action? What is he going to do if he doesn't take action? So when we really look at what's going on at Hamas, what's going on in Hamas, well, why doesn't God just decide, you know, to flood those tunnels? Wouldn't that work? Well, you see, he did that. He did that once. And so why didn't he tell those good people in the Gaza Strip to mark blood on the door and then death can go in? Well, he's done that. And why doesn't he just send hailstones and brimstone and hailstone? Well, he's done that. So what is God going to do if he doesn't use his power to take action? What is he going to do? Makes you wonder sometimes if Biden understands anything at all about power, giving away our gas resources. But what is God's plan? What is God's plan in this time? Well, I want to be able to use my fingers to turn the page, and I can't do it. Let's examine this thing called power. In the 1500s, before books were printed in abundance, puppets were made to entertain the kings and the queens, and they had fancy puppet theaters that they would, and puppeteers would make the puppets and go to the king's residence, and they'd set the puppet theater up, and they would entertain the children with the puppets. The adults liked it too, but the adults had other things they were doing sometimes. But anyway, the puppets were made in the poor homes, while the poor children just used sticks and made their own kind of puppets. And it was common for man to make the puppets. It was done in Appalachia quite a bit. But puppets don't have any power. Puppets just don't have any power. You have to have a puppeteer to make them move. And they perform, the puppeteers would make them move and dance a jig or do whatever they do. The king had had the power to control the puppeteers, but people in Appalachia and in poor areas, they just kind of did their own thing. I had an occasion to observe a puppet and was shocked. The puppet was, when I first saw it, I didn't think it was a puppet. I didn't realize it was a puppet. It was a tall bird, about 5 foot tall. The neck went like this. And the legs went, like this. I didn't think this was a puppet. It looked real. Looked real. About 5 feet tall. Tail was up about 5 feet. Head was up about 4.5 feet. All colors of feathers. Red, blue, purple, green, pink. Any other color you could think of in the feathers. Big feathers. I couldn't see anybody visibly controlling the puppet at all. But truth of the matter is, there were two people walking about 5 feet behind this puppet, and under the tail was this rod that went to this puppet, and they had devised a mechanism inside this kind of tube with strings that made all these movements. So I made an effort to talk to them. They were two people from communist country. I'm not going to say where because of I don't know what's happened and I'm concerned for them. But they were here in this country because they were going to study and teach at a Texas university, and they were permitted to bring this puppet they invented as a demonstration of their skill. And they were to then pick up information from Texas universities, and I'm not sure what all information they meant, but they were supposed to gather information for their country. And I take it wasn't about puppets. But in any event, they told me in their country, the puppet is not theirs. It belongs to the government. They invented it. They created it. They paid for the parts, but the government takes it and puts it in storage place. But you know, if that puppet's in the storage place, it lays there. It doesn't move. It needs a puppeteer to move. It needs power. It needs power. It needs power to move. Well, the sad part is the couple told me that they would call me because they wanted to talk with me about what we were doing in our organization, the Woodcarvers, and they wanted to get all the information they could because they were artists, really, inventors. But they never, ever called me, and I've not been able to get a word about them since this happened, and I am concerned. And my thought is there are probably two results to this. One, they absconded and hid themselves in a place where they felt like their country couldn't find them. And the other is that they were retrieved by their government and taken home. In any event, I want to say the country or the what have you, because I want them to be heard in any way by anything I have somebody might hear. But it was a puppet. And of course, in Appalachia, they did puppets. Nancy saw this the other day when I was here, and this is like the Appalachian puppets. It painted a little more, and of course, it doesn't move unless you pull the string or you make it dance. It doesn't move. There's no power there. Well, in our country, the advent of power came into being. So, you know, mechanism came in with gas and electricity. We began to get mechanical things. The printed word came in. So, gas is a power. And gas is a power can be stored in tanks. And so, you know, huge tanks. One summer when between my junior and senior year in high school, I had a job working in the refinery in Coffeyville, Kansas. They paid double time on after 5 o'clock at night. They paid time and a half after 5 o'clock. They paid time and a half Saturday. They paid triple time on Sunday, and we were working to clean out the storage tank. It was 145 degrees inside the tank, and to clean out the slurry in the bottom of the tank, you had to wear a rubber suit. If the slurry got on you, it would burn you like a sunburn, a horrible sunburn. My high school debate coach, brand new family, first year teacher in high school, was working with us, and he had a rope instead of a belt, and the slurry ate the rope. So it was strong stuff. We worked 10 minutes in the tank, inside our rubber suits, flushing the cursed slurry out of the tank. And 40 minutes out. 10 minutes in, 40 minutes out, getting fresh air. And we did that until we slopped all that slurry out of that tank. But the neat thing about gas is you can store it up. You can save it and store it back. Well, electricity, in Kearney, Nebraska, where I lived, across the highway, the major Lincoln Highway at the time, across the highway, they had diverted the Platte River through canals and to turbines, huge turbines, as big as this room, two of them. And the water went through, constantly generated electricity, generating electricity all the time. Well, I don't know how you store electricity. I guess maybe you can if you call it a battery or something like that, but storage is not as easy. It's constantly being used up, and they're constantly making more electricity. Then the power of the written word, the books came out, and we had a whole different language, because before we were working in the farm, and we were making the toy doll, and we were trying to survive on the farm. But with the books, we had the word. Could change the world. Politics, science, law, engineering, the word became a power. Now let's look at God's power company. Of course, the words power company are my terms, and it's not in the Bible either, and it's not God's words. But I want to turn to Job 12. And look at God a little minute at Job's 12, 6 through 9. The tabernacles of the robbers prosper, and they provide God, they provoke God, and secure into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell you, and or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all of these that the hand of the Lord wrought this. Making it very clear, you see that you ought to know from just looking at nature, just looking at what God created, looking at what we do, we're able to get up and walk. We're not like a puppet. We're able to do these things. Not only that, but you see, when we're injured, we can recover. Maybe we can't recover from everything, but he's given us the power to recover. Oh, my. Then if you turn over the page to the end of the of that chapter, verses 23 to 24, 25, he increases the nations, he destroyeth them, he enlarges the nations and straighten them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and he caused them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Well, it makes it very clear he has all the power he wants, all the power he needs, all the power to do whatever he wants to do, all that. So So, oh my. Now look at Romans 20. Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If you see what his power is, you just know that he is powerful. What is God's power company? What is God's power company? God has all the power of creation. What else is there? If he can do that, what else can the world, could a person do? God does not always use his power, though. He doesn't always use it. In fact, he gives it away. So, go to Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." Well, he's given away his power. He's given it away. He's given it to man. What does dominion mean? Well, dictionary definition says dominion is supreme authority or control. Now we're back to control. A terrific force or influence. One of set of nations, of government nations, that are known as the English Commonwealth. That's the third definition. But it's a supreme authority. It's control. So, when you look at God's power, look at what God has given away. You see, he's given us the power to walk, to run. We're not like the puppets. He's given us the power to walk and run. He's given us the power to see. He's given us the power to hear. We're not like this puppet. He's given us the power to create. He's given us the power to love. He's given us the power to recover from our injuries. But what about God's power? We the believers are his generator. Because what he's done is he's given us all this power. He's given it all to us. If we don't follow, there will be a power shortage. If we don't follow God, there will be a power shortage. And God's power company. So, if we look at it and look at what God has given us, what is the proper use of God's power? What's the proper use of God's power? He's given us the power to walk and run and power to think and the power to read and power to see and the power to learn. Well, number one, you see, is the power of salvation. The fact that you know, you believe, there's power in that. And you see, I think if you really think about it and think about what you can do with that knowledge, It's something you can store away in your brain forever. You have believed. You are saved. You have believed. You can store that away in your mind. It's a joy, as we said last time. What's the next power he's given us? The power and hope of everlasting life. Well, we don't really have the point that we're living after everlasting life. Oh, yes, we are. But it's still something we can store in our mind. That's a joy, as we said last time, that you can have that hope in the everlasting life. But the next one, the power of prayer. You can't store it. It's like electricity. You can't store it. If you don't use it, if you don't pray today, and if we don't hold these meetings here like we are, and if this church doesn't pray, do you think that we'll grow as a church if we don't pray for this church? If we don't meet like this, if we don't keep the generator going and the water flowing through the generator and pray and pray and pray some more. There's more prayer requests that we haven't even begun to think about. And when we go home tonight, we have an opportunity, you see, to pray on the way home. We have an opportunity to pray to keep that generator going for God's power. Because God, you see, He's done His work. He's given us this power. And if we're not going to do it, He's going to divide us from the chaff to those people that are good wheat. He's going to do it. He's done His thing. And if we don't keep that generator going, then God's power company can't run. Power of obedience. He's given us the power to be obedient to the commandments. If we don't do that, it's not something we can store. If we're not doing it today, we lose it. And you see, it's just like some of the people that tell me they're going to come to this church. They're going to come to this church, but it's hard to get them to come to hear what God has to share with them, the message. It's hard to get them to come. Because there's so many really, you know, interesting, great things to do. There's museums, there's parks, there's lakes, there's boating, there's fishing, there's all of that stuff that we can do on Sunday. So it's so hard to get people to come around and be obedient. But if we don't do it, if our church doesn't do it, then we're stalling the generator. He gives us the power to stand firm. And if there is any reason now that we should be concerned about that, it's right now. Because we are facing this potentially harmful operations by people that are coming into this country that we have no idea what they're about. Ruth and I listened to a video about church security, and they were talking about the things people do if they're going to harm this church, if they're going to do that, and what to do. And I think Wes and the leadership are going to talk a minute about this in the leadership committee meeting afterwards. There's things to watch for. So the power to stand firm, He's given us that. And if we don't stand up for what we believe, the generator isn't going to keep cranking. And there's a power in sharing God's word, evangelism, teaching and preaching about Christ. And if we don't keep that going, if we don't do that in our sermons, and like Mike's doing on Sunday, and if we don't do it in the meetings that we have, like Harry does with the women. If we don't do that, oh, the people are few. It's not going to get bigger if we don't keep doing it. If we don't keep the generator going, then God's power company is not going to do very well. So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you that you've given us so much power. You've given all sorts of power that you have away to us, and you've given us an opportunity to use the power that you've given us for good, for the benefit of not only ourselves but the world. We know if we follow your way, your plan for our lives, that just doing what you say as husband and wife and as leaders in the church, if we just do that, it's better than the alternative. No matter how hard and no matter how much we're persecuted or no matter how many other problems we have, we just know that if we follow your will and your commandments and do your will and we keep the generator going, we are doing what you ask us to do. We just know that's the better way. We watch and see people that do not follow your commandments and see the traumas and the evils and the problems that they have. And we know that this following your pattern that you give us, your guidelines and your word, following your power that you gave us. You gave us that power so that your work would be done. And we pray, Father, that we undertake to do the work and use the power that you've given us in accordance with the way it should be used for your glory and for your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.